Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday edition. And Dominic, we've been joined by a fine guest, friend of ours. She's Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel, Maggie Dunn. How you doing, Maggie?
Nice hey, Maggie. To see you, sister.
Hey, gents. Happy hot Friday here in the Badger State. Woo! It's a toasty one out there.
And to you as well.
Maggie, you know, not to digress for too long, but let me start with a digression. Earlier this week, our satellite dish, you know, we do radio, we get satellite stuff off the satellite. It's all magic. I don't know how it works, but Brian does mostly. And this week, our satellite dish probably got hit by a tornado. It's in pieces. It's like 100 yards away from the pole in all different directions. So either we got hit by some amazing straight line winds or a tornado in Columbus, Wisconsin this week. So I've been dealing with that. I've been thumbing it out, you know. So if I'm a little distracted or digress on the air, I apologize, sister. Those are the problems I live with.
Burdens of business ownership, indeed, sir. Best of luck with the big dish.
Yeah, big dish. Well, do you have any big dish for us, Maggie Dawn? I mean, we come on the air. Have you been watching the January 6th? Have you been watching the hearings? What has been your impression?
Yeah, so I watched the first two hearings almost in their entirety. I couldn't watch yesterday, but I read the coverage. I've watched clips. One of the most damning bits of testimony was, I think, unfortunately, written a bit academically or presented a little academically. It was the statement before the committee yesterday from former Judge J. Michael Luttig, who is a conservative jurist of impeccable credentials.
You know what I did not know? And we teased this guy. He was stop and start in his delivery of the material. I didn't know he was a recent victim of a stroke and made the public appearance despite this recent impediment.
And I'm also going to offer this. I don't think he was just struggling with his physical, recovery and where his body is physiologically after the stroke. I actually got choked up like reading his testimony in written form. I mean, you guys both remember when I called in that day, and I was literally completely beside myself with horror and grief at what I was seeing. And I think part of the reason that I was so struck by it was not just as a lawyer, but as a lawyer who clerked for a federal judge, as a lawyer who's worked in government, who advises governmental officials. And there's one, if you guys don't mind, there's one particular portion of Luttig's testimony that is specifically about the responsibility that befalls and rests upon the shoulders of lawyers that advise elected officials. And he is speaking as a conservative, and it is an absolutely definitive indictment of Eastman, Giuliani, Sidney Powell, every single one of those that aided and abetted this president in conspiring to commit treason. And that resulted, and this is, he says this literally within the first sort of opening portion of his testimony. This will forever be a historical fact. On January 6th, the prescribed day for choosing the American president, there was not a peaceful transfer of power for the first time in American history. And he says that because Pence didn't certify Biden as the winner until the wee hours of the morning on January 7th. And so if you don't mind, I wanted to highlight this for your listeners simply because of my experience. It was probably the portion of his testimony that it stunned me to silence, because he said it out loud. Here's just a few sentences, if y'all don't mind.
Yeah, go ahead, Maggie.
This is the judge testifying. Very few, and he's talking about lawyers here, very few ever have the honor of counseling the President of the United States of America. That highest of honors carries with it the highest of obligations. Counsel provided to the President of the United States must be the product of not only exquisite, penetrating legal analysis, but also profound, insightful legal judgment. These two combined are so far from mere technical legal competence as almost to be its polar opposite. The president and the country deserve nothing less from those who counsel the president. So consequential are the stakes for the nation when the president acts upon the advice of his or her counsel. Whatever else, the president of the United States did not receive such counsel during his sustained effort to overturn the 2020 presidential election. And here is the kicker. He doesn't let the president off the hook at all. He says this then: it is as much the former president's fault as anyone's that he did not. So in a very short amount of testimony, he basically says those who misadvised the president committed a grievous wrong against the citizenry of the United States and our democracy. And he says, but just because this guy got crappy legal advice does not excuse him from the consequences of his terrible decision-making. He goes on. From their inception, the legal arguments that underlaid the efforts to overturn the 2020 election were, in that context, little more than beguiling and frivolous, perhaps appropriate for academic classroom debate, but singularly inappropriate as advice to the President of the United States of America in his efforts to overturn the presidential election. It is breathtaking that these arguments were even conceived, let alone entertained by the President of the United States of America at that perilous moment in history. Stunning. And it was it gave me, for the briefest of moments, a glimmer of hope that someone who is extraordinarily far from me politically and probably what our values are and what we think should be the governing principles of this nation. But in this, myself and Judge Luttig agree that when you are a lawyer advising elected officials, you take that as a solemn obligation, not to be trifled with. And it's not just about getting it technically accurate. It's about the judgment that you bring to bear in executing those duties. Certainly, I'm nowhere at the level of advising the President of the United States, but I have always taken my obligation to advise elected officials extremely seriously. And it means that sometimes I have to tell them the stuff they don't want to hear.
Maggie Dawn, not to be trifling, but am I accurate in saying it's a coup at conception?
Yes. This is why, I mean, months ago, right, we've been talking about this, you guys, where I basically said every single one of these lawyers that presented any of these arguments should all lose their licenses. We swear an oath to the Constitution when you become a lawyer in any state in our union. And as soon as you articulate a way to undermine the will of our voters, to undermine an election, you have avowed to take down the American democratic system. I don't know any more clear of a violation of your oath as an attorney than that.
Maggie, I was struck by the judge's other statements, specifically laying down in the road to, you know, stop anybody from trying to overturn the election. And he concluded, this conservative judge, by stating that this is still, as we speak, as he testified, a clear and present danger to this country. And we have Trump today at this Faith and Freedom Conference up there on the stage saying the same things over and over and over again. And it just strikes me that, you know, this, if there is not some consequence to this, if there is not, you know, a prosecution for these crimes, he's going to continue to do this. Meg, are you any more confident today after the testimony, at least the first few hearings that we've seen, and apparently some cooperation going on between DOJ and the J6 committee as it pertains to some of the testimony they've received? How are you feeling about how this is all being presented as it's playing out right now, Maggie?
I think the hearings are really being brilliantly architected in terms of the vignettes and then tying them together and painting a picture of truly how horrifyingly close to a violent, sustained insurrection we had. I mean, we had the insurrection. They just lost, right? But Judge Luttig, as you point out, Dom, turned the prism from a backward-looking one to this knife's edge that we stand on right now and said, this is a threat, this is a war that is continuing. And every single one of these enablers, these aiders and abettors to treasonous conspiracies to over, it continues today. In my opinion, what President Trump did today is part and parcel of continuing criminal activity. The judge makes damn well clear. He basically says, if this isn't something that is universally condemnable, that we all can't say this is wrong, if we're wondering whether or not January 6th was an okay thing, reasonable political discourse, then that means that violent overthrow of our electoral processes is a completely fair option for the future. That's the clear and present danger he's talking about, and it is real. This is not hyperbolic. I'm one that likes to use hyperbole to make a point. And I would say perhaps during the first 2 years of Donald Trump's presidency, I was in my show maybe a bit hyperbolic. It ain't a hyperbole anymore.
Maggie Dawn, hardly ever hyperbolic. But we like her anyways. Devil's Advocates, come back with us. It's Friday. We air the grievances.
Devil's Advocates, tackling the issues you're not allowed to talk about at the dinner table.
And we're back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Our pal, Maggie Dawn, Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel, joining us, sticking around. Thank you, Maggie. Maggie, always great to talk and catch up with you, my friend. The criminal portion, I know you said we didn't really get to that part of it, and I want to talk about Gableman here in a little bit, too, but I want to give an opportunity to respond to the criminal prosecutions portion of this and how the DOJ and the committees are working together.
Yeah, I think I've made this argument both on my show back in the past and here with you gentlemen, and that is oftentimes district attorneys, criminal prosecutors, whether federal or state prosecutors, basically, their calculus is, I won't file charges, I won't prosecute charges unless I'm basically certain I'm going to get a conviction. This is done because many district attorneys have political ambitions. It looks really bad when you lose things, et cetera, et cetera. The history of prosecutions in this country of those that have been charged with seditious conspiracy is not good. Think sort of the Branch Davidians, right, and these weird militias and stuff. There was a prosecution in Michigan, I think in the like early 80s. There was another one that was fairly recent, where the evidence, when you look at it from a historical perspective, was simply overwhelming of guilt. But the way that the crime of seditious conspiracy is defined in the law is kind of tricky, right? Because we don't prosecute people for thoughts, even the most offensive thoughts. We don't prosecute people for extremely offensive speech. So when does having a ton of weapons, saying really crazy stuff, start to look like conspiracy? What are the acts in furtherance of a seditious conspiracy? In any case, these two prosecutions resulted in acquittals. So the federal DOJ has been, I would say, skittish in its approach to much of the white power, neo-Nazi, crazy governmental overthrow, weird guys in camps sort of problem that we've seen. It's been nascent for many decades, but is now right, you know, the quiet part's out loud now when you talk about crazy white dudes with guns. I hope that the DOJ prosecutes every last one of these people. Just like the January 6th hearings are extraordinarily important from a historical record perspective, even if it changed not a single mind, and they will change some people's minds. It's important to do that for the sake of history. Likewise, I think it's important from a jurisprudential history point of view to say they these people have to be prosecuted. Giuliani has to be charged with a crime. He was part of the conspiracy, and ultimately, I think Donald Trump should be charged with a crime. Mark Meadows, criminal activity. Eastman, he's committed crimes. I mean, when you've got, you know, another lawyer telling the guy the very day after January 6th, like, you better get yourself a really good criminal lawyer. And his response to that is, "Dear Donald Trump, can you please put me on the pardon list?" Like, yes, all of these people should be criminally prosecuted. And I don't, I mean, I want them to get convicted, but the prosecution is the point, right? Our standard for criminal convictions is beyond any reasonable doubt. And when we deal with crimes such as seditious conspiracy, and we are rightly concerned as a democracy that we should not have political or politicized criminal prosecutions, notwithstanding all that, you got to prosecute these people. And that includes the president of the United States.
Maggie Dawn, our fine guest, Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel. Maggie, if nothing else, it creates a transcript, it creates a record. But let me ask you about one that might be flirting on the edges. Let's call her Jenny Thomas. Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas's wife.
Hypothetical, right?
Yeah, hypothetically. Let's just throw her out there. If she were, let's say, emailing a former clerk to both Judge Luttig, who gave testimony, said he'd lay in the road, and also clerk for her own husband, a guy named John Eastman, let's say. And Eastman was out there apparently leaking that there was angst amongst the members of the U.S. Supreme Court, almost like he had some sort of inside information. And now we find out he's been emailing with Jenny Thomas. Where do you draw the line? Is there criminality? You know, is this just bad?
Line her up. Let's start locking some people up. Lock them up, right? Like, lock them up. Here's the thing that blew me away. Like, after all that testimony tomorrow, what does John Eastman come out today and say? Of course, yeah, me and Jenny, yeah, there was lots of texting and communication going back and forth. But trust me, none of it was inappropriate. That's literally what his statement says.
Yeah, but
trust no problem here.
But that's what Trump tells Melania. You know what I'm saying? Trust me is not very reassuring in either of those cases.
Lock her up. Lock her up.
Maggie right? Dawn, Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel, our fine guest. So, Maggie, do you sense criminality? I mean, just in the reporting we know about Jenny Thomas, she was, what, emailing state lawmakers in Arizona, 29 of them. You know, she didn't send one or two. It's not like she sent one to her lawmaker. She sent them to Arizona lawmakers. And she also apparently was conversant with the coup plotter, John Eastman, and apparently information was leaking back, or at least Eastman implied that he had insights into what was happening, the debate in the court. Would that be criminal? I mean, hell, if they leak Roe v. Wade, someone's got to go to jail, right? Well, what is this, Maggie Dawn?
This is an extraordinary moment of hypocrisy, right? Like, they all lose their mind over the leaking of the Roe v. Wade overturning. But, like, the whole Eastman, Jenny Thomas thing, that's not a problem. I mean, that's just incredible. I think, yes, she should be criminally prosecuted. The whole thing sounds criminal. But I will say this. here is yet another, like, the complete undermining of institutions in this country. This is the knife's edge of which Judge Luttig speaks. The respect for the judicial system and the Supreme Court is at its lowest level in decades. You think this might be part of the problem? I mean, it's incredible, right?
Hey, Maggie, let me stop you here. You got time to stick around. Can we keep you over?
Sure. Happy to do so, guys. All
well,
right.
I didn't know. Maybe you're coming down to the Friday Night Live in Waukesha. Everybody should. We're broadcasting there next. But more of the Devil's Advocates and our fine guest, Maggie Dawn, friend of the devil.
The only reason you get pardoned is you committed a crime. You can't obstruct a crime that was never committed.
So what I told you was true. From...
The Devil's Advocates. Because freedom...
Advocates Radio Show, the Happier Friday Happy Hour, and I'm happy to tell you all, hey, we got a fine guest. She's stuck around Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel, our good friend and colleague, Maggie Dawn, and also Friday Night Live. If you didn't know, we're broadcasting the Friday Night Live each Friday during the summer, except they take the fourth weekend off, so not Friday the 1st, but don't hold that against Crudy. All the other Fridays, we're broadcasting Friday Night Live right here on the Shaw. And later, 9 o'clock at night in Madison, because we have In Pursuit of Sunshine on the radio going out live at 7, and Native Roots will play it its normal time in Madison, but we're partying in the Shaw, and we're partying with Maggie Dawn. Maggie, appreciate you sticking around. Our buddy Pat Kreitlow just stole a little of my thunder. Paul Ryan did get name-checked in the January 6th hearing yesterday, and name-checked because he called what the former vice president said, hey, if you didn't know, Mike, you really can't steal the election. That's not kosher, sir. So your impression, A, are either Paul Ryan or Mike Pence heroes here? Or are they just slightly less despicable than Donald Trump? Because they, you know, in all reality, Mike Pence just didn't have the courage. And finally... Dan Quayle said, ah, man, you know, if you're still looking for an opinion from Dan Quayle after Paul Ryan, after the attorney Luttig, federal judge Luttig, I mean, Paul Ryan had his counsel Mark Jacobs saying you can't do it. Everyone said you can't do it. And he still called Dan Quayle and said, can I do it, Dan?
You know, by the way, Mark Jacobs is a handbag and clothing designer. Pence's lawyer's Greg Jacobs.
Same.
Same.
Come on, it's Friday afternoon, sister. That's why we brought you on.
How many people does Mike Pence need to tell him that, like, you shouldn't commit treason and this is all garbage? I have been adjacent to this phenomenon before, which when someone is under an incredible amount of political pressure, they may very well know what the answer is, right? And they, yep, we can't do that, or yes, we have to do this. But they want to surround themselves with enough other experts to sort of insulate from the person or the entity or the lobby that's applying the pressure. I can see that Mike Pence may have been doing this a bit, and that he wanted folks that were purely political operators on the conservative end of the spectrum so he could say to Trump and all of his mindless minions, hey, look at all these people I asked, and they're all really good Republicans, and they're all down for the cause, and they all said that I couldn't do it. But again, you know, Greg Jacobs was telling Pence this and had to actually spell out, not only will you, if the Supreme Court picked up this issue, not only would you lose 9-0, if the Supreme Court declined to take the case, Mike, if you did this, you would set up a constitutional showdown between Congress and the White House with no available or apparent means to settle that dispute other than violence. That actually had to be explained to the vice president. In other words, What he was saying is, don't expect the Supreme Court to save you from your own dumb decision making. You have to stand up and do the right thing.
Maggie Dawn, I'm sorry to interrupt, Maggie Dawn, our fine guest. Maggie, let me ask you. Greg, don't call him Mark Jacobs. Apparently, the former vice president's counsel did give testimony yesterday. And what he said was effectively, after all the things that happened at the Capitol and Pence wouldn't get in the car, and all the different testimony we heard, what I took away from that is Trump never called Pence or Karen Pence. Mother was there as well. Pence had his family in the room and still wouldn't get in the limousine, still didn't trust what the motive was to take him from the Capitol complex. So he was there in the same building where they were chanting, "Hang Mike Pence." And despite all that, and of course, we now know the sentiment, Trump was probably back at the White House chanting, "Hang Mike Pence." But Trump never called Pence, never checked on him after the fact. And that apparently bothers even the white-haired, fly-loving Mike Pence.
The absolute psychologically compromised obsession with self that is Donald Trump, right? Next to narcissism in the dictionary is like a picture of him, right? That in this moment, you would think that the president and the vice president might need to talk. Like, nope, doesn't happen. And the fact that these rioters, these insurrectionists, were mere feet from the vice president at certain moments in time. And on top of that, that Vice President Pence was the one that had to call the National Guard and the military. You can just envision the great orange idiot like cheering at the screen. We all know that's exactly what happened. Truly frightening. But no, Mike Pence is no hero. It's sort of like, yeah, getting a C in civics, you know, like understanding that you can't actually overturn the will of 78 million voters. Like, that doesn't earn you cred. That earns you, thank you for not committing treason. You fulfilled your oath as the vice president of the United States, which should have been ministerial and perfunctory, right? This should have been not a big deal.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Maggie Dawn, Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel, friend of ours and a woman of influence. Maggie, perhaps we'll get there in just a moment. I want to get to former White House Attorney Eric Hirschman. They played testimony from him yesterday, and he, you know, testified about his conversation with Eastman and regarding this plot. Are you out of your effing mind? I was pretty blunt. You're completely crazy. You're going to turn around and tell 78 million people in this country that your theory is this is how you're going to invalidate their votes because you think the election was stolen? They're not going to tolerate that. You're going to cause riots in the streets. And Eastman's response, he said words to the effect of, "There's been violence in the history of our country in order to protect the democracy or to protect the republic." So not only did Eastman know, as the testimony has shown, that this was wrong, illegal, fraudulent, you know, whatever, he was also willing apparently to accept violence in the streets. And of course, that's exactly what we had with violence. People died, right? So I guess from a prosecution standpoint, Maggie, I mean, what else are we looking for to prosecute?
Right. So typically you can be charged for felony murder, even if you weren't the one that pulled the trigger, right? If a reasonable potential consequence of your actions, the affirmative steps that you did take, is that someone dies, you can be charged with felony murder. Guess what, John Eastman? Hirschman was right when he told you to get a damn good criminal defense lawyer. Yeah, I think charge Eastman for felony murder under some federal statute. I mean, this is how extraordinarily screwed up this was. Eastman was admitting in December that he knew that this was illegal, that this like thinly sourced, barely any legal citations memo that got circulated amongst the crazed MAGA crowd couldn't meet constitutional muster. He admitted it before January 6th to Eastman that he would lose before the Supreme Court if they would take it up 9-0. And yet he still was forwarding these arguments. I mean, that is absolutely bananas. The guy clearly committed crimes. And I think the fact that he asked for a pardon clearly shows you want the technical legal jargon? It evinces a consciousness of guilt. Yep, we're done here. I want the list of Congress people that ask for pardons, because you people should be criminally prosecuted too. Mark Meadows, you as well. Chief of Staff,
you committed a crime.
McCarthy, MTG. I'm looking at you, Lauren Boebert. Where's Mr. Shirtsleeves Jim Jordan when you want to see him? Which is in shackles, pulled before a federal court. Lock him up.
Maggie Dawn, I got to ask you, John Eastman, the guy that's been featured, this coup plotter, he was in Wisconsin in April of this year, 2022, and he's still putting pressure on the elected Republican, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, came to town to tell Robin Voss, you can still decertify the 2020 elections. Eastman's still plotting it. Earlier today, Donald Trump effectively almost said, hey, Mike Pence from the stage. The coup plot is still active. So am I being hyperbolic?
It's continuing criminal activity. You know, it's sort of, there's a little bit of, well, clearly I can't be committing a crime because I'm doing it in the middle of Main Street, right? Like, I'm doing it out in the open, so it's not criminal. No, it's still criminal. You just have a bunch of idiot Americans that don't want to hear truth. It's sort of like a collective amnesia / stupidity that's going on. It's just one of the most civically irresponsible, immoral moments of time for all of those that believe and are purporting to support this continuing line of garbage. And take it from not me or you guys, take it from Judge Luddick. Who calls it an immoral war, that the people that are forwarding these arguments are not only committing a crime against democracy, it is immoral. He's getting to a level in his testimony that really, really hammers these points home. And I don't have a lot of respect for the Hirschmans or the Greg Jacobs. These were the same
people. Are you sure it's not Mark?
Right, it's not Mark. These are the same lawyers that effectively allowed this to foment for a long time, right? And then all of a sudden, when the really bad thing happens, they're like, well, actually, don't say that, don't do that. They're all trying to save their own reputations. But make no mistake, a whole bunch of these lawyers are back colluding with Republicans and conservatives, trying to get these people elected on similarly disingenuous, lie-filled garbage platforms that got us here in the first place. This complete division within our country, that starts with Nixon and Reagan, right? That is where these seeds of us versus them, good versus evil, the morality, the judgment that overlays someone who may disagree with you, that's where that started. And as put by Judge Luddick, this is the point. Though disinclined for the moment, as a political matter of fact, only the party that instigated this war over our democracy can bring an end to that war. That is from a Republican pointing at all other Republicans and saying, this is your fault, you did this, and you better solve it.
Maggie Dunn, okay, you've sold me. You're a hell of a litigator. You're doing a great job. But have you sold the silent majority, as Nixon would call them? Have you moved the needle? Talking about the J6 committee. Now, I know Fox News is not covering at least the primetime hearings. Apparently, they have started covering the daytime hearings. I think I shamed them. I think I guilted them into it. But Maggie Dawn, do you think the hearings are moving the needle of the electorate?
I think Republicans have to be grappling with the fact that there are some independents that will watch this, that will read coverage of it. And frankly, the highlight reels from these hearings are awful, right? Like, for the first time,
awfully good
and reasonable people actually are given good soundbite material, right? Like, that is winning the argument. Fox News not running it and going completely opinion commercial free for the entirety of the first inning hearing tells you that they are worried that this will change people's minds.
You know, some of us think that's real BS, Maggie Dunn. But we appreciate you coming around. You're going to stick around for the last one.
Yeah, we got some Gableman. You got a minute, Maggie? We got to get...
For Justice Gableman, I sure do, Dom.
Most excellent. We are the Devil's Advocates. It is a Friday. We are airing our grievances with our pal, Maggie Dawn. We know we got some callers. So we're going to get to Gableman on the next segment and perhaps some of your calls as well. 844-967-2789. And I think Maggie's coming down with a coin to buy me a birthday drink. Look forward to that. Folks, come back. One last segment. We'll be right back.
I could stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody, and I wouldn't lose any voters, okay?
My allegiance is to the Republic, to democracy!
If you're not with me, then you're my enemy.
Get over it.
The Devil's Advocates. So relevant, they have one foot in tomorrow.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, 844-967-2789. I know we have some callers, and we got our fine guest, Maggie Dawn, Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel. I want to see if we can get through a couple of topics here quickly. Maggie, thanks for sticking around. As mentioned before the break, Justice, former Justice, Wisconsin Supreme Court
corrupted.
Justice Gableman. Corrupted, as Crudy likes to say, held in contempt in this American oversight. All they want are what? Open records requests. My understanding, not only did Justice Gableman, take the fifth, he insulted the judge and assaulted the attorney, Krista Westbrook, suggesting that she, what, go back to the judge's chambers and he'll show her a good time, essentially. Maggie, I mean, this guy is certainly contemptible. Please, what do you think?
Yeah, let's not forget how former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman
corrupted
got to the court in the first place, right? He defeated 51% to 49% of the vote, the only Black person that has ever served on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, an extremely well-respected judge and legal-minded guy by the name of Louis Butler, former Justice Butler. One of the ads that Mr. Gableman ran is one of the most racist pieces of crap I have ever seen in a political ad. He put a picture of Justice Gableman smiling next to a picture of a Black man that had been convicted for rape and proceeded to put forth a series of half-truths. He's a disgusting man. He was disgusting then. He's disgusting now. Simply because you were elected to the Supreme Court conveys absolutely no integrity or impromptu of acute legal reasoning. The man is an idiot and immoral, unethical, and corrupt to the core. He refused to recuse himself numerous times from Supreme Court decisions when there is clearly conflict of interests. And he clearly has no respect for the court, period. This is not how lawyers comport themselves. And I'll say this as a woman. I am certain that the female attorney sitting across the aisle kicking his butt in court has heard much worse in the duration of her career. But that this man at this moment on these issues would stoop to such lows tells you he knows he's losing. Once someone starts attacking me, the way I look, my clothes, my weight, my hair, gosh, people will complain about damn near anything if you're a woman with an opinion and want to express it. As soon as someone starts doing that, I know I've beaten them. And Gableman showed us his hand perfectly. When you got no legal leg to stand on, when you got, you know, what's the saying? When the law's on your side, pound on the law. When the facts are on your side, pound on the facts. You got neither the law or the facts, pound on the table. Those were the dying gasps of a corrupt and beaten, embarrassed man. For shame, sir.
Maggie, I'm so glad you snuck the corrupt part in there.
A couple of times. Appreciate it. We have some callers. Let's try to get some in. Maggie, you cool with that? All right, let's do it. Mark from the SAC, you've been holding the longest. Welcome, sir. What do you got for us?
Yeah, thanks. Hey, Maggie, I used to be a regular caller to your program. I found a quote from Madison in Federalist 58. ignorance will be the dupe of cunning and passion, the slave of sophistry and declamation. And, I mean, it just points, and as well as the Hamilton's warning in 75 about corrupt magistrates betraying the interests of the people for their own self-interest. I mean, that Trump is, it came to my mind when you talk about flatheads. It came to my mind, you know, the original Frankenstein's monster from the movie had a flathead, but it was a reanimated corpse wreaking havoc upon the community there. You know, and a murderous reanimated corpse is what the Republican Party has become. What they're willing to do for Donald Trump, what they're still willing to do for Donald Trump, each and every one, no matter how tangentially connected to this insurrection they are, all the fake electors and all the little coupon plotters should be hauled up in front of the courts and jailed.
Maggie, thoughts?
Lock her up!
100%. I mean, Mark, great to hear from you. Thank you for being a longtime listener. Yeah, Donald Trump acting in his own self-interest. Yeah, that's the story of his life. He's incapable of anything different. For Mike Gabelman, this is like, hey, I get to be in the spotlight again. I don't know squat, but people are listening to me. He's like the MyPillow guy, right? I mean, they're intellectual peers. They don't have two gray cells to rub together, but like all sound and fury signifying nothing.
And pounding the desks. I've got a couple more. Gary from Sussex, you're up. Welcome, Gary. What do you got for us?
Hey, I'm Maggie. I'm a conservative. I'm a 70-year-old conservative. I drive the boys nuts for the last 4 years. So
just because you got sexy legs, though, Gary.
Yeah, right. The thing is, they know that I'm, you know, I don't hurt anybody. But you know what? You mentioned before we're talking about Trump. Now, Fox does not cover it, and I do watch Fox. I also watch, you know, MSNBC, Don Lemon, and the whole shooting shebang.
Did you watch Fox last Sunday, Gary, just out of curiosity, about noon?
Tell you what, I don't know what I even had to breakfast this morning, so don't ask me last Sunday. How would I know? Okay, but the thing is this. Donald Trump really, really believed that he was cheated out of the election. He had people like Giuliani telling him that he was cheated out of the election. So if you really believe
Giuliani was the drunkest man in the room, according to the testimony, Gary.
That. You can't obstruct a crime but the fact that was never committed.
You can't, listen to much. You can't convict somebody of a crime. You can't convict somebody of a crime if he didn't say go in there and use like violence.
All right, Gary, we get your point. Maggie, is ignorance of the law an excuse?
Really interesting, because conservative legal scholar and Judge Ludwig actually had something to say about this, Gary from Sussex, who's been a conservative and annoying his employees for 4 years. Here's what Judge Ludwig had to say. The former president's accountability under the law for the riot on the United States Capitol on January 6th is incidental to, meaning intertwined with, his responsibility and accountability for his attempt to steal the 2020 presidential election from the American people and thereby steal America's democracy from America herself. This said, willful ignorance of the law and fact is neither excuse nor defense in law. Willful ignorance, thus, is neither political nor legal excuse or defense available to the former president of the United States, his allies, and his supporters. So with all due respect, Gary, you don't know what you're talking about, but go ahead and turn Fox News back on. I'm sure that'll enlighten you more, my friend.
Maggie Dawn, our fine guest, Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel. He didn't say, hang Mike Pence. He said it would be a shame if you hung Mike Pence. Come on down for the Friday Night Live, going live from downtown Waukesha right after we commence. And everyone have a great weekend. Be safe out there. Happy Father's Day to all the papas. You know, at least those that pay the child support. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Maggie D.
Oh, big gulps, huh?
All right.
Well, see you later.
All right. See you later.
Don't mess with the devil, buddy.